visiting the state fairgrounds is one of the more interesting experiences in life. There's just so much to see, and so much to do, and so much to eat. And Becca Stevens, an Episcopal priest, took her 9-year-old son to the state fair. And his experience was like most of our experiences, sensory overload, smelling the funnel cakes and the cattle show, and seeing the bright lights and the 10-foot-tall teddy bears, and hearing the screams falling from the roller coasters and the callers from the booth trying to get you to throw the rings on the bottles. Well, after a couple hours of riding rides and eating candy, he opted out of the next roller coaster, just wandering quietly over to a bench and watching his brother ride it. And after the roller coaster was over, he walked up to his mom quite unexpectedly and said, "Mom, I feel really lonely." That he was surrounded with plenty to do and hundreds of people, and yet he felt all alone. That somehow he looked beyond the excitement and the attractions and did not feel a true connection to others. And in the beginning, even though God kept saying, "Creation is good," the poet John Milton in the 17th century said, "The first thing that God's eye saw and named not good was loneliness." As in Genesis chapter 2, God saw that it was not good for the human to be alone. And even if it is difficult or near impossible for us to admit, we all feel alone at times. It's like Jesus giving his farewell speech in the Gospel of John, and the disciples are worried about what they are going to do once he is gone. And Jesus tries to reassure them, "Just keep doing what you have been doing. For those who love me, keep my word. But you'll need to expect the unexpected. Do not let your hearts be troubled." But Jesus was leaving, and they needed somebody who could lead them forward. So just like Elijah, named Elisha as his successor, or Moses tapped the shoulder of Aaron, Jesus did the same. He said, "I will send you an advocate, the Holy Spirit, and it will continue to teach you as you go forward." In the tradition where I grew up, and perhaps it was similar for you, we always kept a safe distance from the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. That we never turned our back on the Spirit of God, but whenever we talked about the Spirit, it felt like we were putting on issued hazmat suits and touring a nuclear facility. It just seemed dangerous. And it's why I appreciate the Gospel of John referring to the Holy Spirit as the Advocate. Because no matter who we are, and where we are, we all need an advocate. Someone who stands on our behalf. that the Spirit is not just an out-of-control wind, that whenever this troubled world ends up troubling our hearts, we need an advocate letting us know, reassuring us that we are never alone. I've never been much of a fan of haunted houses. You know, at Halloween, the costumes and the candy are fun and all, but haunted houses with their dark, dreary hallways and people jumping out from around the corner with some chainsaw roaring or skeletons falling down from the ceiling, it's more than I can enjoy. But much worse than haunted houses are the haunted moments of this life, which unfortunately are harder to avoid. And I am not talking about paranormal experiences. I'm talking about the haunted moments where we feel like we are the only one. That we are the only one who is left out. That we are the only one who feels like a failure. That we are the only one who stumbles with parenting or messes up at work. That we're the only one whose family is divided or who doubts ourselves. That we are the only one who does not always feel the presence of God with us. And in those haunted moments, perhaps we need the Holy Ghost or an advocate reminding us that we are never alone. It's always been so hard to describe the Spirit of God. Jürgen Moltmann, a world-renowned theologian, tries to describe the Spirit of God in his book, The Spirit of Life, saying that the Spirit is a wellspring of energy that draws people to one another, or as we might say, the fellowship of the Spirit. But you know it is hard to describe the Spirit of God when a world-renowned theologian turns to the lyrics of Bob Marley for help. That Moltmann turns to Marley, quoting the lyrics, "Let's get together and be all right. One love, one heart, give thanks and praise to the Lord and be all right." That the Spirit of God draws us into the love of God through the love of neighbor, so that we are never tempted to ever think that we are the only one. One way that the church has described the Spirit of God is like the wind. Back there in Genesis, where the wind blows over the waters of creation. Or there at Pentecost, where the wind rushes through the room and draws people together from all places. Or we can not see the wind, but we see the effects of the wind. Well, another way that the church has described the Spirit of God is like a wild goose. It comes from the Celtic tradition, reminding us that you can never tame the Spirit of God. And if you've ever been around a wild goose, you know that analogy holds true. But it also reminds us that the Spirit is an advocate. Because when we look up in the sky and see geese flying in a V formation, that the one out front, the one at the head of the V, is the windbreaker. That she takes on the wind so that others don't have to. That she makes it smoother and easier for everybody else. And whenever she becomes tired, she switches place with another goose so that she can rest and someone else can become the windbreaker. That in the fellowship of the Spirit, we share the burdens with one another. That we take turns becoming the windbreaker. Where we never, ever have to worry that we are the only one. Amen.